Welcome to Of the People. Thank you for joining us. Today, multiculturalism meets anti-Semitism. So another day, another mostly peaceful anti-Israel, anti-United States, pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist protest around the country. And how appropriate that it is now rooted in Columbia University, Yale University, New York University, NYU, among other places, right? We started with Harvard and MIT and University of Penn, and now we've rolled into college campuses and all of this nonsense, right? So how appropriate at this point? Because when you really think about all of this, the epicenter is now on these elite Ivy League and some not so Ivy League, but college campuses, which is where all of this crap, frankly, started because we took our eye off the ball. Let's not forget, we started with safe spaces, right? And then from safe spaces, we went on to DEI, which diversity, equity, inclusion, we know really stands for division, exclusion, and intolerance. And this nonsense CRT, critical race theory, all of this started on college campuses, and all of this is this anti-Semitism. Now, but before that, it started with this banal sounding word called multiculturalism. And you've all heard multiculturalism. We've all heard it, right? Multiculturalism really, from a layman's perspective, is no culture is superior to another culture, and all cultures should be valued and upheld. And that's lovely sounding. Like I said, it's banal, it's benign. The problem is when you scratch the surface, that's not the way it works. Right. And it presupposes that all cultures have the same rights to offer the same rights to their citizens and have the same values of human rights, gay rights, all sorts of other rights. And we know that's not the case. But let's go to the definition of this. Lord Benjamin, put up the definition for everybody to see, if you're on the video of this, of multiculturalism. The problem, again, with all of this was the problem is, anyone who preaches multiculturalism, it's a farce. It is the height of real racism, because what they're telling you, they advocate for the worst kind of racism, because they're lying to you. They're covering up what they really mean, because what they're trying to do is force you to accept their way of how society should be structured under the aegis or banner or fraud of multiculturalism, right? Now, let's look at Europe. Find me one place where multiculturalism, this whole, you know, it's the same reason they changed Scrabble to Scribble or Scrabble to Scrabble together, right? Why can't we all just get along because all cultures are equal? Well, no, all cultures are not equal. I'm sorry. All humans are not equal. All cultures are not equal. Look at Germany and what multiculturalism has done there. Look at England. That multiculturalism has done there. Look at France, God forbid, and what multiculturalism has done there. And there are cities and places in France now that the police will not go. Neighborhoods in Paris, the police will not go. How's the multiculturalism working for you now, right? So all of this, and it's backed by these spineless politicians in this country who all they want to do is get reelected. So they are kowtowing to this hatred. And again, hatred of Jews, as we talked about, and this is Passover, by the way, Zisim Pesach, but hatred of Jews is the canary in the coal mine. It's not just they hate the Jews. They're coming after the Christians next. So for my Christian friends out there, if you think this is just about anti-Semitism, it's not. But let's step back. How did we get here? This is really simple. Now, Lord Benjamin, play the video. This is how we got here, folks.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
That was former President Obama, if you didn't recognize the voice on radio. Former President Obama, 5 days before the election in 2008. Now, let me ask you a couple questions here. First of all, if you love something, why would you want to fundamentally transform it? Secondly, of course, they're going to tell you in banal, sort of benign words that, oh, no, what we were talking about is transforming America. Nonsense. The transformation that they are talking about through multiculturalism is what you are seeing now on these college campuses. And they're counting on our fear, and they're counting, which there's a lot of that out there, and they're counting on our apathy. You want to know how come Hitler was able to take 6 million Jews and put them in the oven? Because of the fear and apathy amongst the general population. What do you think is happening here? The other proof that this is a canard is it is impossible for these protests to be anti-Israel and pro-United States. So you are now always hearing it's joined, and it's not just because the United States is funding into a large extent the Israel response to the Hamas attacks. It's that Israeli values are American values, which are human rights values, and that's why they don't like them from here. Multiculturalism. Oh, and one last point before we go to the show. To the Bob Crafts and Leon Coopermans and Bill Ackmans of the world, those billionaires who are now pulling their funds and pulling their donations from these elite Ivy League schools, I have two responses. Good, and why did you wait so long? You turned a blind eye to, yeah, you can take that off the video. You turned a blind eye to what was going on to college campuses all these years, and you kept making contributions. And what did you think was going to happen here? So I applaud you for withholding contributions, but where were you 20 years ago when you saw all this was happening? So kudos, but not really, right? This, we reap what we sow, and this is what we sow. And frankly, they have these billion-dollar endowments anyways. They don't need your money, right? Multiculturalism meets anti-Semitism. Truthfully, multiculturalism leads to anti-Semitism. And that's the monologue. Erica, come save me from myself. Or don't save me from myself.
I wish I could, but my technology is messing with me today, Robert. I do not know what's going on.
You know, this sounds like a personal problem, Erica. I'm sorry.
It's actually your problem because it's your show. Right.
Here you are pretty in pink today, right? Taking nothing away from Molly Ringwald. Here you are pretty in pink. And I'm like, no, not that video. No, I want the other one. So.
We're having some technology issues over here today, you guys. So we're going to hopefully that ceases and we get to hear all the great opinions and thoughts of Robert without being distracted by silliness. Great monologue as usual, Robert. It's funny that
fear and apathy.
That's what I didn't. I have to admit I was not as politically engaged when Obama was president, but the longer time goes on, the worse of a president he is. Like, it's just more and more stuff, and
he was a great president to those who were true believers. Let's play that clip again.
Okay.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
I mean, listen to those cheers.
The useful idiots behind him, right, who don't really understand what the fundamental change was. But again, you know, when people, I would tell you when bad people, but when any people tell you what they're going to do, you should believe them. when Hitler wrote Mein Kampf, he told you what he was going to do. The problem is that nobody believed him, right? And I am not equating Hitler and Barack Obama because I can see all the hate mail coming.
Somebody's going to say that.
Of course. Oh, here we go. Incoming, right? But when people tell you things, believe them until they prove otherwise. And here you have the person that became the president saying, we are going to fundamentally transform, not just, you know, civil rights, at its core, we are going to fundamentally transform America. The question is from what to what? We are fundamentally transforming America from a constitutional democracy to something else.
That's right.
Wokeism is the tool. Multiculturalism, i.e. wokeism, is the tool they're using to do that. Right. Driven by, frankly, elite white liberals and mostly women, by the way. I hate to play the race, the gender card, but
no, you can play it. No, you can play it. I mean, if you look at I'm totally derailing this, so you can tell me to shut up right now to move on. But if we look at, for real, think about all the people that we're seeing in the news who suck and are doing nonsense. How many of them are women? The woke DAs that are going after Trump, the wokesters, not that they're not all, not that it's all women, because you got the dude in L.A. and you got some women. Other guys just, in on it.
I'm talking about the vanguard of sort of this social justice wokeism.
Oh, yeah. Movement. It's a bunch of white suburban women.
College educated, elite Ivy League schools, mostly. Yeah. Now, again, like Berkeley is not an Ivy League school. Stanford is not an Ivy League school. But these are still part of the elite, you know, top 5% schools. And the problem I have is we took our eye off academia 20, 30 years ago and allowed them to hire these leftist professors that all they do is teach hate. So to the kids, you know, there was this old Saturday Night Live skit that has to have been 15 years ago, which I'm sorry. I mean, I should play, but basically it's this father who's dropping his daughter off to go to college. And they have this really, you know, emotional dad, I love you. And, you know, do you want to go do another year in high school? No, dad, I'm going to college. And then all of a sudden this ISIS pickup truck comes with all these terrorists in it. And the daughter gets into the pickup truck and says, don't worry, dad. We'll train her from here, right?
Shut up!
That was Saturday Night Live 15 years ago.
They would never do that today. Oh, I wonder if you can even find it anymore.
Oh, I have it on my phone. I can send it to you. So, would you like me to send it to you,
dude?
So
I'm
gonna send this to you right now. You have to hold this while I'm doing this, because if we can put this up on the video, you're gonna love it. This was let's see, where am I? Yeah, no, I was looking at it the other day. Here you go. So who am I sending this to?
You can text it to Benjamin.
Text it to Benjamin.
It'll be easier for him to load it.
Okay, well, you know, I'm going to email it to Benjamin.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
I'm going to email it to Erica. So I'm sending it to your Coalition for America, Erica. You should have it. Yep. So we're going to put that up. Yeah, this is like 15 years ago. Saturday Night Live basically does this skit, which we should show people, actually, once you get it. It's at your Coalition for America email. Okay. So, you know, you look at and look, these billionaires, right? They all care. They all put their money to great causes. I'm not denigrating them. But all of a sudden they come out and say, oh, there's anti-Semitism on these college campuses. I'm going to not make my donation. Where the hell were you 20 years ago? It was there. You kept giving your money. Oh, now you're not going to give your money. And look, I applaud them for what they're doing, but it's like closing the barn door after the animals are gone.
Yeah. Can you do that again? There's no link in the email for some reason. Double check.
Really?
It really is. I think it's, you don't get, it's like all the chicks who came out after the Me Too movement and were like, oh, Harvey Weinstein, he's so horrible. But you never said anything the whole time. You don't get credit for letting him, you know, have his way with people a bunch of nonsense. And then 20 years later, after you let him victimize, you know, 200 more people, that's stupid.
So Lord Benjamin, look up father-daughter ad Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
It's on YouTube. It's a YouTube clip. It's all over YouTube.
That's crazy.
So say that again, Erica. I'm sorry. I was trying to multitask. And you know, most guys like me, I can't multitask. I can only do one thing at a time really well.
It's like all the people who came out after when the Me Too movement started and was like, oh, Harvey Weinstein's so terrible. It's like, but you didn't say anything the whole time. You're not a hero now. What's that? Leslie Headland? She was his personal assistant. Okay. I think it's Leslie Headland or Hegland or something like that. She was Harvey Weinstein's personal assistant. She's now one of the lead project movie filmmakers over at Lucasfilms. She's been gifted Star Wars after letting her boss people for 20 years. Like
Look, maybe she's got her own couch. Maybe she's got her own couch. I don't know.
Ah! Oh my God. I mean, that's the thing. That's the thing. You have to be a bad person. Why are you getting a job now?
So let me know when Lord Benjamin has this YouTube ad up. Because you got to see this. And I mean, so again, my point is that, you know, they're harassing people on the subway in New York City. They're harassing professors out in Berkeley. They're doing the sit-in on the Golden Gate Bridge, right? They're sitting in, you know, on the way to O'Hare Airport. I mean, and they're planning, by the way, there's a congressional baseball game coming up. I want to say it's in a couple of days. They're going to protest it. The protester now, I mean, the genie is out of the bottle. So that is the YouTube thing. So this is Saturday Night Live back in the day when the, you know, Robert Kraft's and Leon Cooperman's and Brad Ackman's of the world should have been pulling their money out. This is Saturday Night Live. I'll tell you how far back this goes, folks. Watch this.
Looks like you're right here. You be careful, okay?
Dad, it's just ISIS.
ISIS twist has many asking, some wondering.
Death to America, right? So, folks, Saturday Night Live, ISIS parody. You can, but that tells you how far back all of this goes. But so, I want to segue though to a different point in all of this, and that is the a broader discussion of the whole concept of self-defense. And the reason I want to bring this up, obviously, because of all the threats and all the, you know, I mean, they're going to say mostly peaceful, but there's been violence. Someone got stabbed in or poked in the, you know, stabbed in the eye. And, you know, the violence is going to continue. And again, the MSNBCs of the world are going to, of course, say it's mostly peaceful. It's a peaceful protest. But the concept of self-defense, and the reason I bring this up is out on Long Island, Nassau County Executive has put forward a proposal to empower private citizens to enforce the laws. Let me find my little notes here. To enforce the laws, GOP County, neighboring New York City, deputize private citizens when the police can't respond.
What?
Bruce Blakeman gave his comments. He says, I don't think you can depend on Albany or Washington because they're more interested in giving away billions of dollars to immigrants who are unvetted. We need a group of citizens who are already trained, who already have experience in police departments and in the military, and have them on reserve in the event there would be a serious emergency, right? So they're not talking about militias or black or you know, patrolling the streets, but if there's a national or regional emergency and the police either are outmanned or cannot respond, what they're talking about is having a reserve militia, basically, of former trained officers. And obviously now you've got the Democratic left saying, oh, they're like Nazi brown shirts and it's militias. But let's start at the concept here. I have the right to defend myself in this country. Do I not?
Yes.
If someone is breaking into my house, I have the right to defend myself.
Depends on what state you're in.
Well, in New Hampshire, you do, right? So then the question becomes is if there is a threat to the community, does not the community have a self-defense right to get together to defend itself? I mean, where is that line? Now, many people are going to say, oh, no, it's up to the government. Well, folks, I got news for you. In most places in the country, the government ain't going to get to you in time.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's places where they've defunded the police so much that there are times of the day where there's no police patrol at all.
Right. So do you not, and I think this is the discussion that this country needs to start having in the public square, is what are the rights to self-defense? Because too often now we look to the government or the institutions. And again, ladies and gentlemen, I am not talking about taking the law into your own hands. Mm-hmm. Right. I am talking about the concept of self-defense. There's no question that as an American citizen, I have the unfettered right to defend myself if I am threatened. Now, what qualifies as a threat? What is the appropriate amount of force to use? I mean, these are all discussions we can have. But at what point does the God-given, constitutionally given right to self-defense migrate to a larger group, whether it is your town or your community or larger than that, because they're going to say, no, that's what the National Guard's for.
Yeah. Or even
there's a great
further to what you're saying, that speaks to Texas defending itself against the invasion across the southern border. The federal government will not do its job to protect Texas and Texans. So does Texas not have a right to defend itself? And so I think that's a really great question, Robert. And when we look at municipalities across the country who actually don't think you have a right to defend yourself, you have a duty to flee, I'm not sure how this question will be answered, but I will say that Dr. Bruce Abramson's last book, A New Civil War.
You mean provides... his current book.
Well, I was going to say,
how do you know it's his last book? It could. Are you saying that this is the last book he's going to write?
No. Well, first of all, I was trying to do a segue and you totally interrupted it. Okay. I was trying to segue into a commercial break. And the only commercial we have for Bruce is his last or most recent book, A New Civil War, not his current book, which we don't have a commercial for yet.
Got it. Roll them, Smokey.
From conservative commentator and contributor to Breitbart News, The American Spectator, The Jerusalem Post, The New Civil War, Exposing Elites Fighting Utopian Leftism and Restoring America, Bruce D. Abramson brings a transformative exploration into how progressivism has poisoned America. Featuring a foreword by President Trump's former strategist, Sebastian Gorka, PhD, The New Civil War will open your eyes to the left's incendiary agenda and how patriotic Americans can fight back. We are living through a national trauma. The United States has jettisoned the rule of law and ceased functioning as a republic. Battle lines have been drawn. Progressives are moving quickly to cement their transformation of the country's beliefs, attitudes, values, social structures, economic models, and government organizations. Patriotic Americans are waking up to recognize that conservatism failed to conserve much of anything. Progressives control academia, media, the civil service, and several of our country's most important industries. The New Civil War is not a call for war. It is a recognition that war has been declared on us. Our sacred love of liberty is under attack. Unless we defend it, the America we love may be lost. This book is for every patriotic American eager to defeat the utopian left and restore America. Joel Pollack, conservative journalist. Americans face a bizarre new political landscape. A supposedly moderate president who ran on promises of unity is pursuing a radical left-wing agenda. These challenges call for principled, effective opposition. The New Civil War will help start a conversation about how to push back. Harmeet Dhillon, civil rights lawyer. As a lawyer who defends the victims of progressivism every day, I have looked into the eyes of the thought police. The New Civil War provides the wake-up call America needs and serves as a self-defense manual for patriotic Americans. Get your copy of The New Civil War today.
Hi, I'm Robert Chernin.
And I'm Erica Reddick.
And we are Of the People. Join us on WUVR 1490 on your AM dial. That's Thursdays 9 a.m., Saturdays 3 p.m., and
WNTK 99.7 FM.
And if you can't find either of those, you can find us on Rumble.
That's right.
Listen in.
All right. Not Dr. Abramson's last, as in final book. Not his most recent book, his second to last book.
I mean, maybe something happened to him and you didn't tell me about it. I was like, his last book? Uh-oh.
Like, whoa. I'm done. I'm done.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm going to live in a cave somewhere. But I want to come back.
Speaking of going to live in a cave somewhere.
Uh-oh. What
don't you be a caveman and not like, share, and subscribe. Okay, go ahead, Robert. Go ahead. That was mine.
Are we off the rails today?
We are so off the rails today.
It's the pink. The pink is throwing me for a loop.
You know what? I missed a week. I missed last week. I'm off my game. I got to get it together. Okay.
I want to come back to this whole self-defense concept. So, let's be clear. Democratic critics to Bruce Blakeman's plan out in Nassau County, Democrat critics are alleging that the provisional deputies could be used to quell Black Lives Matter or pro-Palestinian protests. My response, yeah, that's what they should be used for, right? Hello? So, but it still begs the question about self-defense, because what you're now going to see going through, and by the way, I think the Democrats are never going to have another convention in Chicago ever again, because apparently the protests that are planned by this pro-Hamas, pro-terrorist crowd for Chicago is going to be, you use the word off the rails. Apparently it's going to be quite significant, and let's see what happens there. I'm sure they'll protest the Republican as well, but.
And think about that's in addition to all of the problems that they're having with the illegal immigrants and crime exploding. Yeah, it's good luck, y'all.
Right. Good luck. But where, and I would love our listeners or somebody who's on Facebook to give us a, you know, their insight into this, because I have the right to defend myself. When does that, how does that right transfer to my family, my community, my town, my, you know, because the country, let's be candid here. The country was founded in part by the defense of local militia.
Yeah. Yeah, there was no standing army or police when the Redcoats were coming.
Right. And I realize people are now associating local militia with the sort of right wing, tinfoil hat wearing, you know, crazy people, which is not accurate nor fair. But by demonizing them in advance, right, any act of self-defense is going to be blown out of proportion by what the liberal media. And yet, do these people not have a right to defend their homes, their families? You know, we've done our commercial on American exceptionalism, right? You know, your home, your church, your or your place of worship, right? You don't have the, I mean, and during the high holidays, you know, at my temple, I used to be one of the guys that used to stand outside defending the temple in case something bad happened.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, when did we lose the right of self-defense is what I want to know.
I think as soon as the federal government started and local governments started infringing on our Second Amendment, once they started criminalizing self-defense, right? I mean, what these duty to flee laws, as an example, if somebody breaks into your house, you are not allowed to defend yourself. You have a duty to flee, that if you can get away, you have to run away and let them take over your house.
And that's determined by whom?
That is that
a jury of my peers.
Yeah. You will get arrested. Like if you are in a duty to flee state, if someone enters your property, you shoot them, you will be arrested and you will be tried for defending yourself.
And do you want to know what my unfettered, unvarnished response to that is?
Do I need to get the censor button ready?
No, I'll be here. It's better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
That's right.
Sorry, guys, ladies. It makes me a little bit crazy, but
imagine. You know, I had a conversation with a gal in Los Angeles when Benjamin and I lived out there, and she's from Connecticut originally. She's a lib, and she said, you guys have, you know, weapons in your house? And I was like, yeah. And she was like, well, what would happen if somebody broke in? And I said, they would get shot. They would regret the day. And she goes, well, what if it's just somebody who's like sick and down on their luck? And I said, well, sucks to suck. I don't know what to tell you.
Okay. But what if you're walking down the street and a giant safe falls from 50 stories on your head, right? What do you, I mean, it's the same. I mean, you can, what if this to death, but we're talking about concepts here.
Well, and that's why I asked her, the sanctity
of your home, the right to self-defense, these inalienable rights, and inalienable rights, ladies and gentlemen, are supposed to be rights from God, not rights from government, right?
And that's what Where's I asked my, her. I said, are you saying right that a person? Oh, sorry. What's that?
No, I said, where's my, it's rhetorical. Where's my right to self-defense?
That's
and
what where, I said.
And where's
I said,
the line?
And that's why I asked her. I was like, are you saying that I should allow someone to break into my house and hurt me and my family because they might be having a bad day? What? I don't know. You have to be so soft and so comfortable and so disconnected from the reality of the insecurity of the world to like come to that conclusion.
So what are these flee laws you say? What are they called again?
It's called a duty to flee.
A duty to flee. So I would love Lord Benjamin to look up if there is a Republican state, or let's call it a red state, or a conservative state that has a duty to flee law, right? Because I would imagine that they don't. And by the way, if you live in a blue state and there is a duty to flee law, that explains why you're leaving. You should flee the state. Makes sense to me, right? That's why everybody's migrating out of Massachusetts, New York, California. Where are they going? They're going to the red states. But one proviso, do not make your new state into the type of state that caused you to leave your first state to begin with.
Please, Lord.
Right. It's like all these Massachusetts people are coming to New Hampshire and all they're trying to do is affect laws that make us into sort of a Massachusetts like state. But guys, that's why you left the state to begin with.
Oh, yeah.
You want to turn us into
states that have duty to retreat, a duty to retreat. I guess that's what it is. Connecticut, Delaware.
See if
you can find the pattern here. OK, Connecticut, Delaware, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Rhode Island, Hawaii, Minnesota, Nebraska.
All flaming liberal states.
And mostly from the Northeast. Almost.
Notice that New Hampshire is not on there.
Live free or die, baby.
Live free or die. It's an attitude, not a license plate, ladies and gentlemen. live free or die. All right. So. Well, you know, truth hurts. What can I tell you? You know, sometimes I feel like the Honorable Thomas Sowell, who just sort of speaks truth and doesn't really care about the ramifications of it.
Thomas Sowell, so, magical Negro. Okay. We were talking a few weeks ago.
He's a magical Negro.
The movie about magical Negroes. Thomas Sowell is definitely a magical Negro, just for the record. Okay.
Is this like Jack and the Beanstalk?
Yes.
Okay, if you plan it, they will come or something. I don't know. Never mind. Let's move on.
Moving on.
You know, the appropriateness of the conversations. You're killing me. The appropriateness of the conversations to me of self-defense. This is the first day of Passover, right? And, you know, there's a lot of things we could talk about in terms of the story, the lessons, the traditions, the rituals, the remembrance, the sort of defining of the Jewish people. But understand that at its core, Passover was an act of self-defense.
That's right.
And it was active self. And again, the story goes that, you know, they put the blood of the lamb over the doors of the Hebrews, and that God smite the firstborn of the Egyptians who were not, you know, in protection of the Jews, right? In self-defense of the Jews, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I guess, you know, you could parse words about, well, that wasn't really self-defense, but, there's an argument there. But when you really understand one of the real true aspects is that it was an act of self-defense. It was an act of defiance as well, but it was an act of self-defense. So this concept is rooted in antiquity and in biblical times.
Yep. And it really was self-defense, because if they didn't do what they were told, which was to sacrifice a lamb and to put the blood over the door, I mean, that was the whole thing. They had to actually fulfill what was required of them to protect themselves. You know, I go get a gun or I get a gun to protect myself, but then I don't pick it up to shoot it when somebody actually enters my house, you know? So that really is, it is self-defense.
It is self-defense. By the way, as a total sidebar, because we're talking about defense, and I still am, it's just incredulous to me that an American administration, let's take, you know, the D's or R's out of it, is currying support and favor with a pro-terrorist faction in this country that we've allowed to come here that chants death to America. So much so, did you hear that the State Department is about to sanction the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force? Now, they're not sanctioning the entire IDF. They're sanctioning a unit, if I can find all my paperwork. You know how I am. I mean, my desk by the end of the show, it looks like, you know, Skata. But that would be Greek, by the way, folks. So, U.S. to announce first sanctions against the IDF unit over West Bank actions, right? So, and it's allegedly for human, you know, rights abuses committed in the West Bank, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that this administration is playing politics with a country that's at war to defend its existence, right? Let's go through the list, right? Bad enough that they called for the overthrow of the government. Bad enough that they didn't veto UN resolutions, right? Now, again, the juxtaposition of that is going to be people are going to say, yes, but when Iran attacked, the U.S. came to Israel's aid along with Britain, along with Jordan, along with France and other countries to help them defend themselves. You know, it's the same attitude towards these billionaires, you know, funding, you know, donors funding, you know, these universities. Well, you guys helped create this to begin with. You better come to the defense, right? So it amazes me that we are now sanctioning. And again, of course, and by the way, the battalion that they're sanctioning isn't just Jewish. It's ultra Orthodox, right? So war on religion knows no bounds. Now they're going to say, oh, no, they committed these abuses. Well, it's not up. I mean, when are you going to sanction Hamas? When are you going to sanction the PLO? When are you going to sanction Hezbollah?
When are you going to sanction? I mean, you could even think about anybody who's an ally of ours, ally that messes up. Did we sanction the Saudis for killing a journalist? Did we sanction anybody else for doing it? You know, so I really feel like it, and I feel like this is a. Oh, what's the word? What ceremonial?
Double standard?
I'm trying to think of what's the right word. It's like pandering. Like, of course, are you pandering. Just doing this for show, for your pro-Hamas wing of the party?
Erica, let's be really clear. This is about staying in power, having enough votes to win an election, not alienating a community.
But there cannot be more pro-Hamas Americans. I just can't imagine.
It doesn't matter. Let me make this really clear for you and our listeners. Yeah. This election in November will turn on at most 7 or 8 states. One of those states is Michigan, which has a strong Muslim population. Remains to be seen how much of that population is pro-Hamas. I don't have those numbers. But there is already discussion, you know, I guess, let's call it the pro-Palestinian community in Michigan, that they cannot win election, they being the Biden administration. And again, they cannot win election if they do not win Michigan. Therefore, they must win Michigan. They have to win Pennsylvania as well, by the way. Right?
Yeah, but Pennsylvania's...
You're missing the point. Let's go back to the original premise here. And let's play this one more time. You have that Obama video? One more time, please.
One more time.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
That's why they want to stay in power. That's why they will pander to this anti-America crowd. And I know they're going to say they're anti-Israel, but as we talked about in the monologue, it is impossible to be both anti-Israel and pro-US. And that's why you're hearing chants of death to America at these rallies. So under being hoisted on our own petard, we have led in under multiculturalism because we want to be thought by the world to be good people. And we're going to take your huddled masses, right? Statue of Liberty, give us all of that. And we're not going to vet who comes into our country. And therefore we now have them here. And they are important for the Democrats to get reelection to do what? To fundamentally transform America. I mean, are there dots here I'm not seeing?
Okay, I've got a question. And I'm asking you to speculate here. Something that just came to my mind.
Do I need my tinfoil hat?
Yes, you do. Get it. Okay, so we know Israel, when it decides to assert itself, what was it, the four-day war? What the heck was it called?
The Yom Kippur War?
Yeah, they also call it like the 3-day war or something like that.
Keep going. A little more than three. How many?
Five?
Come on. Six? Look it up. You just missed.
I'm trying to move on here. Dang it. Anyway, Israel could have knocked these guys out in 5 minutes if they wanted is my point.
By the way, it's a 6-day war. Yom Kippur War was a six-day war, right?
So 6-day war. So they could have wiped these fools out in 5 minutes if they wanted to, but they were asked by the United States to take their time and do whatever. So now
And by the way, clarification, the Yom Kippur War is different than a 6-day war. A 6-day war was in the 60s, but go ahead.
Okay. So we're now 6 months on or so. And we know that the American appetite for this kind of stuff is very short. We just got out of Afghanistan. We had all this crap going on. Americans don't want to be at war. So I almost wonder if they encouraged the Israelis to go slower so that there would actually be more pushback against Israel, because it's now like making them look bad for longer.
Is there a question here?
Do you think that that's, is it possible you think they did that on purpose? Like this was an intentional way to make Israel look bad?
I think you're giving the administration far too much credit. I mean, look at 9/11, right? The country came together and for a much longer period. I think what ended up happening is the brazen attacks and the brutal murder of, you know, hundreds and hundreds, 1,300 or so Israelis, was such an animalistic act that it was impossible for an otherwise pro-Palestinian leaning administration to come down on any side other than be in support of Israel, at least short term. But as the drumbeats roll and the protests roll and the threats of losing an election roll over the days, weeks, and months, and let's be honest, remember last show we went into how the head of the DEI, State Department's new DEI officer, you know, calls America a failed experiment, and all the people that are in place within this administration that are clearly anti-Israel. And let's be really clear, especially when it comes to government, Erica, people are policy.
Yeah.
Right. The people that you put in position are the ones that have to execute policy. And the people that they're putting into these positions are almost to a person anti-Israel.
Mm.
So it was inevitable that it started here and went over there. I don't think, to some extent, did the administration probably try to slow down Israel? Of course, because they were trying to get Israel not to go into Rafah for weeks and weeks and weeks. And that's the last stronghold of Hamas. Israel is fighting a war for its existence.
Great.
Again, to be clear. It's not the Israeli charter that calls for an extermination of a people. It's not the Israeli charter that calls, you know, that uses kids as suicide bombers. It's not Israel that hides munitions in schools and hospitals and things like that. Right. So
that's right.
Again, it comes down to there is no moral equivalence here. But because of the protests in the streets, this administration is backpedaling really hard, except obviously in the attacks, Iran attacking Israel soil.
Yeah.
They didn't have a choice there. So people are saying, oh, we came to Israel's defense. Crap. You didn't have a choice because you didn't have a choice. I mean, that was so far over the pale, but let's be clear, that $6 billion or $10 billion and the unfreezing ending of sanctions and unfreezing of assets emboldens your enemies. Iran is the enemy. Let's be very, what not the it? Iranian long, people, all that stuff.
All right. But here's the deal. How long ago was it? How long, like what, last year they gave them like billions of dollars back? A few months later, they're freaking bombing Israel?
Wait. And they're blaming Trump, who ended the Iran deal. And therefore it's Trump's fault. By the way,
What?
I have an ingrown toenail. I think that's Donald Trump's fault because, because Donald Trump's economy was so bad, there's no supply chain and I couldn't get any nail clippers. I don't know. Everything in the world is Donald Trump's fault.
These people. Everything. Oh, my God. How dishonest can you be?
I believe there's an expression that absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right. So
I'm going to hyperventilate. Seriously. Okay. But okay,
and
hold on.
Let's not forget that back during the Obama administration, that remember that pallet, that huge pallet of billions of dollars of cash onto a cargo plane in the middle of the night to Iran, but don't worry, they're not using it for any terrorist activities. How do you know? Are you there? Oh, or they gave you the insurances and they're trustworthy. There's a bridge in Brooklyn, folks, I'd like to sell you. It's old, made of wood, but it's in really good condition.
It was probably built by socialists. So let's see how socialism is the big lie.
Socialism. The goal of socialism is communism. The world is quite familiar with socialism and the horrors socialism has brought with it. It wasn't that long ago. Actually, it's still with us. Socialism creeps into government slowly until it's too late. Socialism, the big lie. Yes, it could happen anywhere. This educational video was brought to you by the American Center for Education and Knowledge and paid for by people like you who care about the future of our democracy. Please help us continue our work educating the American public and consider supporting ASIC by making a tax-deductible donation at asicfund.org.
Robert, I feel like this was an entire episode that we should entitle Where's the Outrage?
I think all our episodes should be entitled Where's the Outrage? Personally, it's just, I hope for the people who listen, and we have so many regular listeners now, I'm so thankful and appreciative of everyone, but it is really about fear and apathy. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, we like to have a good time and we like to laugh because Lord knows there's not enough laughter in certainly my life. And I don't think in the world or in the country, They're counting on the fact that you will be cowed into inaction or silence based on fear and or based on your apathy. Now, I think the pendulum is starting to go the other way. When you have sort of social media or Hollywood figures like Bill Maher, who are now sort of calling out the hypocrisy on the left. And let's be really clear. Bill Maher is no conservative, never will be, certainly not a Trump guy. But the outrage and the hypocrisy is so egregious at this point, and it is so pervasive across the country that you're starting to see the culture, the pendulum shift back. But it comes down to two things, fear and apathy. And that's why these protests are roiling the fabric of the country because they're intimidating, they're violent. They're not all violent, but they're mostly peaceful. which if I hear that one more time, I think my head's going to explode. But they're counting on the general public's being cowed into silence and inactivity through fear and apathy. That's what they're counting on.
Yep.
And so we hope to reach people to cut through the crap that, okay. And look, I'm scared sometimes. I'm never apathetic though, I will tell you, but I have fear. I have fear for either myself or my family or my friends or my community, it varies depending on what we're talking about, but you got to push forward. You have to.
Yeah.
You get one roller coaster ride, folks.
That's right. And it's so much of what happened over the last, four years or so, it has just been, again, it's more fear, more division, cutting people off from their sense of security, safety, and comfort, lie, so many lies. People feel so unstable. There's a reason that more people are trying to get into therapy than in the history of all time.
I'm not going to denigrate therapy. What I might denigrate is Big Pharma, because all they do, not therapy, but But everyone's now, the solution is in a pill. No, the solution is not in a pill, ladies and gentlemen. The solution is in yourself. The solution is in your faith. The solution is in your God. The solution is in your family. The solution is in your community. I can't tell you what the solution is, but I can tell you where you can look to find it. That's where you look to find it. But let's go back to the outrage. So I have to weigh in on this whole Trump trial in New York City. And again, let's set the table here. If Nikki Haley was the nominee, I'd vote for her. If Chris Christie was the nominee, I'd vote for her. Donald Trump's the nominee, I'll vote for him too, right? I mean, it's just, it's anyone is, you know, ABB, right? Anybody but Biden in all of this, okay? You know, I would vote for my golden retriever, okay? Can't do a worse job, and you don't have to worry about the golden retriever being eaten by cannibals. You might have to worry about being eaten in China, but it's a whole different thing. But the trial in New York, I hope everyone understands what's really going on. First, it was the trial in Georgia that was going to be the greatest threat to Donald Trump because he tried to overturn an election. That was what the media was pushing, the narrative that was clearly going to be the one that did him in and really, you know, prevented him from running for president. And you all can see how that, by the way, Erica, if I just said you all, I've been hanging around you too long, but you can see how that's going. But this political show trial in New York, right, is such an abuse of power to get Trump at any cost. People need to understand the following. The money that he paid Stormy Daniels allegedly through his lawyer is now being considered an illegal campaign contribution that is so egregious that the federal government, and by the way, the campaign laws are federal laws, not state laws, but the federal government Department of Justice found this to be so vacuous as to not press charges. Because they didn't press charges, Letitia James in New York, the attorney general, is pressing charges in New York for a federal violation that the federal government didn't think rose to the bar of legitimacy. If this isn't a political show trial to get Trump at any cost, I don't know what is. And ladies and gentlemen, if they can do it to him, they can do it to us. And that is the real issue here. And then you get, you know, caught up on the fact that, you know, you have a judge who won't let him go to his kid's graduation, and gag order. I mean, the civil liberties that Donald Trump is now not entitled to under our blind justice, which clearly isn't blind, is such an egregious political weaponization of the power of the state. I don't know why people aren't marching in the streets about this.
Where's my tinfoil hat?
Yeah,
give me your tinfoil hat. What if Letitia James is actually secretly a Trump supporter?
Oh, stop.
And she knows that by doing this absolute nonsense and exposing the corruption of the justice system, that people will then stand up and fight for their rights.
Okay. Whatever you're smoking, I want some. Okay. Because there's no, I mean, come on. This is a woman who campaigned on Get Trump.
They can't think that this is working though. It's all it's done is increase his popularity.
Okay. What do you bet? I'll make you a wager. What do you bet before this trial is over, Trump spends a night in jail?
Oh yeah. I believe it.
And then we will have set the precedent of jailing for violating the gag order or contempt of court, right? They will set a precedent of not only prosecuting and persecuting a former president. Democrats out there, be careful the precedent you just set, right? Be forewarned, right?
Yep.
We have prosecuted and we're persecuting under a politically trumped up charges, no pun intended, a former president. I don't care whether you like the guy or not. You don't want to vote for Trump? Don't vote for Trump. I get that, right? This is a free country. Vote for who you want to. But to not see clearly what's going on in that trial, and the charges did not rise, they didn't rise to the level of legitimacy or sufficiency. The federal government should have been the one to prosecute this. And
after Michael Avenatti went to jail, Stormy Daniels came out and said that it never happened, and she denied it.
Well,
that's the even stupider part about this.
And now she's saying she's worried that, you know, Trump's going to have her killed or some nonsense crap, which, by the way, Avenatti is now agreeing, has now offered to testify for Trump, by the way. But I mean, once a liar, always a liar.
This is a clown show.
It is a clown show, but you're missing the point. This is the weaponization of government against a private citizen who had the temerity to go after the deep state, to go after, you know, the, let's call it the Obama mm-hmm. state, if you will, who is trying to fundamentally transform the United States of America, right? We're tying all this together. That's what this is.
Well, what was it you said earlier, Robert? When people tell you who they are, believe them. Remember when Chuck Schumer came out and said, oh, the FBI can screw you 10 ways from
him.
Sunday.
Right.
Yeah, that's not what he said. I'm paraphrasing. But he basically was like, oh, Trump's going after the CIA. Oh, he better watch out. You know, like.
Well, look, the two, not people, but the two targets to me of the federal government in terms of abuse of power are number one, Donald Trump, first and foremost. Number two, yeah. Christians, white Christians, because there's also a war on Christianity.
That's right.
Stemming from the federal government. Now, and so who cares if a couple Jews get killed at a protest, right? You know, we're going after the Christians and we're going after Donald Trump. That's all. That's what this is. And I know this sounds like a conspiracy theorist, but, and again, I don't care who you vote for, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that the elections are free and fair. Make sure that you're going to keep us safe as a country, and make sure that you don't have your thumb on the scale to try to go after a political opponent. I mean, that's all this really is. I mean, all politics is local. The issues this election cycle are going to be immigration, illegal immigration, crime, right? The fentanyl crisis and the economy. I mean, those are the issues that people locally care about, and they should. They care about their family. They care about, are my children going to have the same opportunity or better than I had? Are they going to be educated or are they going to be indoctrinated?
Well, and this one of our viewers commented, go back to every sitting U.S. president and let's dig through all their closets. I love that idea. This is the whole thing is.
Are you saying there were presidents who were in the closet? Wait a minute. Did I not hear that right?
I can't even breathe. I can't breathe. Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. You can breathe. I don't know. By the way, gay used to mean happy. Now it means something else. I hear the word closet or in the closet or in their closet. It's all Obama's fault.
Oh my God.
Yeah. What did one of our listeners say? Look through whose closet?
Yeah. He basically was saying, like, let's go back through every past president's closet and, you know, see the skeletons in their closet, basically. Like, if we went through and held to account every president who ever did something wrong, it would be all of them.
Erica, every president. Every human being. Are you perfect? I mean, you may be perfect for Ben, but
I have the worst temper.
Okay. But my point is that no president.
But that's my point.
Look, I was a big George W. Bush supporter. I did a lot of work to help out during those years. Mm. Okay. Large and small. I will tell you that in my opinion, I think that man always did what he thought was the right thing. But clearly in retrospect, he made some mistakes. He's not perfect. There's Jack Kennedy had how many mistresses? So did FDR. I mean, you know, everybody, mm-hmm.
Reagan had problems too. Wait, not Bay of Pigs. Like he had.
Bay of Pigs would be 1963. That would be Cuban Missile Crisis is Kennedy.
Cuban Missile Crisis.
Ronald Reagan had the Iran-Contra scandal.
Iran-Contra, that's what I'm going
right.
for.
Right, Ollie North, all that stuff, you know, that kind of thing. But the point is to our listener is that it's not just every president. That's why, you know, you want someone who has right reason and right intent because you know they're still going to make mistakes. There's not a single president that I have supported that I have agreed with every policy and every position. And I don't have a litmus test, right? Well, it's this one issue. There are people who do, and I respect that. But at the end of the day, I want someone who has the best interests of America at heart and who believes in those fundamental values upon which America was founded.